for what I found in the Lord this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Good to be in church this morning. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to get right into the Word of the Lord this morning. Go to chapter 14 of Matthew. Chapter 14 of Matthew. I'm sorry, you can stand up again. And then in a minute, you can sit down. Chapter 14 and verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent his multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Let's pray over this word this morning and ask the Lord to talk to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. God, I pray that you will help us, Lord, to receive something from you, God. Lord, I pray, God, that you'll have your will in this service, Lord, and we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. For the next few minutes, I'm going to do a little lesson that I've entitled Lessons from a Storm. I got a little encouragement from this past weekend, and so we're going to just talk about lessons from a storm for a few minutes. I lived in Missouri 35 years ago, but I guess I forgot the severity of the storms. And before you make fun of me saying that that was severe, to someone who lived in California for 35 years, that was a severe storm. And I called my daughter, and I said, "Look, you need to come over to the house, and, you know, let's just ride this out together. So if we're going to die, we're going to all die together here." So I didn't tell her that part because I don't want her to be afraid. But to me, this was going to be a big deal. And I seen some on Facebook that other Californians, it felt kind of the same, that it was a severe storm. But for those of you that have weathered some storms, you could probably give us some clues and some advice and to help us next time. And while I'm not talking about natural storms today, I believe that there's some good lessons that we could learn from the natural that will help us in the spiritual and the things that we deal with from day to day. So that's what I want to try to talk about for a few minutes today. It's been said that in life you're probably in one of these positions. You are either in a storm, or you just came out of a storm, or you're getting ready to go into a storm. How encouraging is that? But that really pretty much tells a tale of life, does it not? That life just seems to have a way that just when we are recovering from something, that there seems like there's something else that's just around the corner. So all of us have storms of life, and some of the storms that we experience may be emotional, or they may be a moral storm, or they may be an economic storm, or maybe it's a storm that has to do with your health. Maybe a doctor has given you some news that was pretty troubling and discouraging, and things that are going on in your body that you would think, well, that would have to be somebody else and not me. So there could be many different types of storms that we go through in life. And maybe we've just, you know, had some news that was very damaging or discouraging that we've received, and sometimes that can create a storm in our life. There was a country singer that wrote a song, and I think I only pretty much know a couple lines of it, but it fits good, so I will use it. But I think the lines go like this, that you're only a phone call away from your knees. And how true is that, that one phone call can cause us to go to our knees, and the skies that were once clear in just a moment's notice can be overcast, and then we find ourselves in a storm. So if this fits any of you, then this message is for you and for me today. And I want to be very clear about what I say today, because I want something that I can say from the Word of God to help us. And if you feel like you're not in a storm today, then I would encourage you, get a piece of paper and get a pen and take some notes, because you will have a storm come across the horizon of your life. And then it'll be good to have a little information of some things that I can learn from a storm. I don't want to be like a politician in election that was overheard telling one of his aides that he said, in the excitement of everything, I hope I didn't say something that actually made sense. But I don't want to be like that today. My desire, whenever I do a Bible study or preach or anything, is my desire is that somebody can leave with something that they didn't have when they came. That somebody can go home and say, hey, that helped me. I was able to put that away, and I know I can draw from that later, because that really is what it's intended to do. So in our text today, Jesus had just fed the multitudes, and 5,000 people, 5,000 men plus the women and children were fed. And the Bible says that he constrained his disciples to get in the boat. And the definition of that could be as strong as he forced them. He compelled them to get into this boat and to go to the other side. Now, but the Bible says that the winds was against them. I don't know, have you ever had wind against you? And this past week, you know, the wind was pretty strong. And remember, I'm not used to storms, so if I use these analogies, it's real to me. But the wind was strong and blowing pretty hard, and you could feel it when you're driving your car, and you could feel it grab the door of the car when you get out. But in life, sometimes there's wind that you feel is absolutely against you. And sometimes there's things that it feels like you would lose your balance, and you would not be able to stand against it. So today I'm not going to tell you how many lessons I have, because I'll quit when the time runs out. But I have enough lessons on a storm that we should get through the morning, no problem. But the first thing you need to know is that storms are often encountered when you're doing the will of God. Have you ever been doing everything you know to do and you've been obedient to the Word of God, but then you find yourself in the middle of a storm? Sometimes in perfect obedience to God, we find ourselves here. And I have a question. Were the disciples in the will of God? Jesus had just told them, hey, guys, I want you to get into this boat, and I want you to go over there. I mean, to me, that was a directive from God, and that would indicate that they were in the middle of the will of God, doing exactly what God had asked them to do, but yet they find themselves in this storm. Imagine Jesus saying that to you. Imagine, I mean, I can imagine if I was walking with the Lord, and he said, John, I need you and everybody to get in this boat, and I want you to go over to the other side. Well, to me, that sounds like a directive, and if I had that kind of directive, I would think that everything's got to be okay, because it was God that told me, get in this boat and go over there. It was an explicit command of the Lord, and they obeyed it. But now they find themselves in the middle of a storm. Now, if you're in the middle of a storm and you feel like you're doing everything that you can to be pleasing to God, it doesn't necessarily mean that you married the wrong person, or that maybe you have the wrong career or the wrong vocation in life. And it doesn't mean necessarily that you've made some bad decisions. While that is sometimes the case, it's not always the case. Sometimes you are doing the right thing and doing what you're supposed to, but you still find yourself in this position. The fact is, the right thing to do sometimes is not the easiest thing. Probably, it should be said, the right thing to do is usually the hardest thing. Anybody can identify with that? That doing things right usually takes a little more effort and is not as simple. So I want to tell us today, I want to tell you today, that sometimes God will lead us into a storm by divine appointment. Now, how can that make sense, that God is going to give me direction to go into a storm? Well, we know that the Bible says that Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. So that means to me that it is possible that God will, by divine appointment, direct me into a storm. But there's a reason for it. It's sometimes in the storm when I can learn my best lessons. It's sometimes in a storm that I can stop relying on John and start relying on God. Sometimes God will allow us to take a difficult path because he wants us to understand, hey, I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. And if you'll just obey my word, you're going to find out that I will always provide for you, that I always will be there for you, and there's nothing that will happen to you without my allowing it to happen. So sometimes we are led into a storm by divine appointment of God. The second thing, storms should remind us of the promises of God. If we look at verse number 22, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. So it was Jesus that made them get in the boat. He forced them to get in the boat. And he said to go before him. In other words, he's saying, you go before me and I'm going to meet you over there. I mean, if the disciples would have had a little time, and it's easy for us to do what they call Monday morning quarterbacking, but if the disciples would have just thought for a minute, wait a minute, he said, get in the boat and go over there before me. In other words, I'm going to be there shortly, and just wait for me because I'm going to be there. Then they should have been able to sit in that boat in the middle of that storm and actually enjoyed it, because the Lord said, I'm going to see you on the other side. I'm going to be over there. You just go on over there, and I'll get there. If sometimes we could just look at the Word of God and take it at face value for what it says, if he has a promise that's specific to me, you can be rest assured that God is going to fulfill that promise. He's not lack concerning his promises. I mean, if I would have had a basement Friday, I could have enjoyed the storm. You know, and just sit there, ah, let it come. Let it blow the top of the house away. I don't care. But if the disciples would have just listened to his words, they would have saved themselves a lot of grief. There's another reason why there was no possibility that boat was going to sink. John was in that boat. John was going to write a lot of the New Testament. And there was no way that he was going to drown in that boat. Peter was in that boat. What do we know about Peter? There was absolutely no way that that boat was going down with Peter in there. Peter was going to preach the first message to the New Testament church on the day of Pentecost. So there was absolutely no possibility that that boat was going down, especially with Peter and John in there. I want to tell you, if you're in the right boat, there is no way this boat's going to go down. I don't care how high the waves are or how rough the wind is. If you stay in the boat, there is absolutely zero possibility that you will ever be destroyed. We got something to be grateful for today. Yeah, sometimes we go through a storm, but I think we can learn some things. Amen. If you're walking in obedience, wasn't it, I forgot who it was, one of the disciples, so I'm not gonna say it because I don't know for sure. Sounded good here, but see, I stopped it before it came out. My wife will thank me for that later. So, another way to put it, there's absolutely no combination of angels or demons or powers that can prevent you from doing the will of God. You're the only one. And if God has given us a direction and God has given us a word and a promise, you can be sure that God is going to help you so that you can fulfill that promise. So when life is difficult and you're in the middle of that storm with all of the wind and everything seems to be going on wrong, remind yourself of the promises. And the Bible's actually full of promises. I mean, we could spend the whole morning just going over the promises, but I like Hebrews 13 and 5. You could put that one up there, Hebrews 13 and 5. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, in the Greek text, there's actually five negatives in that verse. He says, I will no, not, never leave you, no, not never. It's like he was emphasizing, never, 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 never. Now, never is an all-encompassing word, and it should take care of it all by itself when the word never is used. But he says, never, never, never. I want to tell you, God will never, 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 never leave you or forsake you. So when you're going through it, remind yourself of those promises. The third lesson is, and I think this is one of the most critical, even when we cannot see Jesus, he can still see us. Now, we have a certain comfort level if I can just feel him. And it's good to come to church, because it's real easy to feel the Lord in this sanctuary. I mean, you don't even have to try. You walk in and you feel the presence of God. And there's a certain level of comfort and peace that comes with that. But believe you me, there's more times in my life when I'm walking and I'm dealing with life, when I look around and I may not always verbally say it, but in my heart, like, God, where are you right now? God, I cannot feel you. I cannot see you. And there's those times that I need to take comfort in the fact that he still sees me. Even though I can't see him. Galilee was surrounded by tall hills, or what they call mountains. And Jesus was on the mountain. Do you think the disciples could see him? No. They had no clue where he was. But he seen them. And maybe you're here today and you feel like God is nowhere to be seen. Has anybody ever felt like that? You don't have to raise your hand if it's today, but I want to tell you, everybody has gone through that at some time. God, where in the world are you? I'm in the midst of the most troubling thing that I've ever faced in my life. I'm up against something that I have no idea how I'm going to get out of. But I want to tell you, while Jesus was on the mountain and they were questioning what's going on, he knew the exact longitude. He knew the latitude of that boat. He knew the height of those waves. He knew the gale of that wind. He knew the depth of that water. He was not concerned because he was still in control. Put that somewhere in the back of your mind. Even if I never see him, if I never feel him again, I know he sees me. I know his eye is watchful, and I know that he knows the way that I take. You need to encourage yourself in the Lord this morning and speak the word. He knows the way that I take today. His eye is ever upon me. Amen. I want to tell you, this word encourages me because I've weathered a few storms in my life. Maybe not like you have, but to me they were real storms. They were things that I wondered, how in the world will this turn out? But I always know that God was still watching me. Today, God sees you. However you came in here, when you left the street, whatever frame of mind you were in, God's seen you. And when you sat down this morning, God sees you. And today he wants you to leave with something inside of you that tells you, hey, everything may not change tomorrow, but I know he sees me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The fourth lesson, he comes to them at the right time. I've heard it said, God's never early, and I believe it. He's made a believer out of me on that one. If he'd just been here a little earlier, I wouldn't have suffered. Well, suffering, he doesn't guarantee us that we won't suffer a little bit. But he's always on time. The Bible says that it was the fourth watch of the night, verse 25. The fourth watch of the night. That's somewhere around 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, from my understanding. That's the darkest part of the night. Have you ever driven through the night? You're driving and you get tired. When is it the roughest to keep your eyes open? I mean, I'm getting worse the older I get. I used to be able to drive a lot, but more now, hour after the sun goes down, I'm ready to sleep. But it's that time right before the sun starts to come up where you seem to struggle the most. But it was at that time, the Bible says, that Jesus came to them. He may not have been early, but he came at the right time. They were the most weary. The situation was the most hopeless. And it was at that time that Jesus came to them in a moment of their desperation. Sometimes we need to reach a point of desperation, because as long as we have another option, we don't always completely rely on God. But when the options all run out, when you've already thrown everything overboard to lighten the ship, when you've already lowered the sails, when you've done everything you can, it's then when you get desperate, and that's when the Lord will show up. So if you want to make your storm a little shorter lived, then begin to get desperate for the presence of God in your life. Begin to get desperate for him to intervene. Get desperate for him to show up. Get desperate and call out to him with everything in you. And then I assure you that God will show up and make himself known to you. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Remember the story of Abraham. He was about to slay his son, Isaac. He was being obedient to God, doing exactly what God had told him to do. And just before he plunges the knife, the angel of the Lord says, hold on. Would he not have done that if one more second had gone by? Right on time. You're here this morning, so you haven't failed yet. You're here today, so maybe you feel like you can't take any more. But trust me, God will not push you beyond what you can handle today. He cares about you. So Jesus will come to you on time. The fifth lesson. Our fears might be Jesus in disguise. I mean, they should have known who he was, right? You know, fear can do some crazy things to you. Fear can make you see things you don't see. Fear can make you believe something that's not real. Fear can, it can really play tricks on you. And if you've ever had an anxiety attack or a thing of fear, it doesn't matter what anyone says to you, that is real to you. That is real to you, and you need help. The disciples were so distraught and so overwhelmed with fear. They knew who Jesus was, but when he was coming towards them, they could not even recognize him. And I don't know. It's easy for us to second guess everything. But I imagine they were a pretty good representation of the human race, including us. They have the same feelings, the same emotions, and the same things that can cause us to have fear. But they didn't even recognize. You know, sometimes Jesus will come to us in a weird way. Like maybe a catastrophe will happen. And no, the catastrophe was not good, and it was not, you know, ordered by God. But it will cause us to turn our attention to God. I want to tell you, I've done many studies on Moses. And that's one of the greatest studies you can do if you want to see how to get closer to God. Begin to study the life of Moses and everything about that. And it's amazing. All the things that God did through Moses and all the things that happened with the children of Israel, it was really God just wanting the people to trust him. If we could learn that simple lesson, sometimes storms come, but God just wants us to trust him. And remember in the New Testament when Jesus said, except you become like this child? I mean, how many of you have children that when they were little, I was just weird, but you set them up on something high and you say, jump, 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 you know? And you know they would get hurt really, really, really bad if you didn't catch them. But that child doesn't even think twice about it. They just step out and go. Why does Jesus use the example of a child? Because he wants us to trust him like that. He's not going to let you fall. If you're stepping out and you don't even see a step there, go ahead and put your foot down because he's not going to let you fall. Sometimes Jesus comes to us and we don't recognize it as him because of our fear. But he wants us to understand, if you just trust me, everything's going to be all right. Everything will be all right. Lesson 6. I might get through all 7. I'm going to go ahead and tell you I had 7 now. I'd have scared you if I'd have said that in the beginning, huh? Oh, Lord, 7. Lesson 6. The thing that was threatening their life, Jesus came walking on it, was under his feet. What were the disciples afraid of? Afraid of drowning. What was going to cause them to drown? The water. And Jesus came walking, and under his feet was the thing that they feared was going to destroy them. He was walking on. Imagine this. Imagine looking out over the water and seeing Jesus just walking like it's just a marble floor. No, there was no stones there for him to walk on. Whoever thought that. He was just walking on the water. That should encourage you. The thing that you fear is about to destroy you, God has put under his feet. God has already conquered it. There is nothing that he cannot conquer. And God wants us to know, in the middle of my storm, the thing that seems like it's going to destroy me, God has all power over it and just walks on it like it's nothing. Anyone else, it would cause them to fail. Anyone else, it would cause them to drown. But God wants us to know that whatever my storm is, he has already conquered it. In the midst of injustice and pain, in the middle of the mystery of not knowing, oh, I don't see any end to this. Because when there's a storm, what happens to the sky? It gets dark, right? It could be the middle of the day and the sky gets dark. The sky's not supposed to be dark in the middle of the day. I mean, black. The clouds are black. It's the end of the world. Our storms in San Diego, we'd see lightning like maybe once every 2 or 3 years. I'm not kidding. So we just thought, wow, did you see that? There was lightning. And Friday night, I seen lightning go from there all the way. I was surrounded by lightning. I couldn't see behind me, but it was probably there too. I was like, whoa. But there's storms in life like that sometimes. It doesn't matter which direction you look, you can't see any clear sky. Sometimes you would think if I can see a patch of clear, hey, everything's going to be all right because this is going to kind of play itself out. But there's times when you're in the middle of it that you don't know. I read a story. The internet's pretty cool. You can find all kinds of illustrations. So I'm using one that I found. I read a story on the internet, and it was told to be true. There was a man. I don't even know who. I'd never heard the guy's name before. So if you've heard it, and I don't know. Tony Evans. I don't know if you ever heard him. He's supposed to be some kind of preacher guy or whatever. I don't even know. Good or bad, I don't know. But I like the story. So him and his wife were on a cruise ship. And during the cruise, a big storm came up. Well, actually, the captain came on and said, hey, everybody, it'd be a good idea for you to go back to your cabins. We're going into the middle of a storm, and it's going to be rough for several hours. Well, this guy's wife, you know, they're supposed to be pretty famous or well-known or whatever. So she gets a hold of the captain's assistant. She says, hey, go talk to the captain for me and tell him, look, what are we doing going into the storm? Why don't we just drop anchor here and just wait it out? So the captain's assistant said, okay, I'll go talk to him and I'll get back to you. So a little while later, captain's assistant came back and said, ma'am, the captain said, tell that lady no disrespect. He said, but I'm the captain of the ship and I'm in charge, not her. He said, and tell her number two. He said, lady, when this ship was built with that storm in mind. I want to tell you, when God filled you with the Holy Ghost, He already knew every storm that you would come across in your life. Whenever He decided, I'm going to make them one of mine, He already seen the storm. And He's already conquered every storm. So take heart today. Take faith today and say, you know what? If God seen it when He gave me the Holy Ghost, then He can take me through it. He built this ship with that storm in mind. And maybe God gave that illustration to that man and his wife just so I could preach it today. I don't know. But that'll preach. When God gave me the Holy Ghost, there's nothing in my life that surprised God. Do you think a situation you're in, God's like, whoa, didn't see that coming? No, He's not surprised. He already knew, but He wants you to know that you can go through it. That's why He has not moved the storm out of the way. That's why He's not having you drop anchor. He wants you to know you can go through it. Hallelujah. I think we should stand right now. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's seen every storm and every situation. He thought I could go through it. He knew I could go through it. But He wants you to know you can do it. He wants you to know this morning that you can make it. He wants you to know today this storm will not be the end of you. Hallelujah. 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 I'm not going to do number 7. I think we should close with a praise to God today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's already weathered every storm. He already knows every circumstance. He already knows every situation. And He's here today to let you know that you can make it through your storm. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's clap our hands to the Lord today.